Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across the Globe this morning, as it were. Normally it's Racing Across America, but this morning lots of Dubai action, which is already underway. Hopefully you're enjoying that. And coming up at the bottom of this hour, we will have another Dubai race, race number four, the Al-Quwaz Sprint, a 6-furlong turf. Again, that'll be at the bottom of the hour, but lots of Dubai action this morning leading into the Dubai World Cup, which is 12:50 post time this afternoon. But again, lots of great Dubai action that we'll cut in with during the morning. So keep that in mind. We're going to talk a little Gulfstream this morning on Racing Across America, but don't forget, Dubai, Gulfstream, and Turfway has a great card today as well. We'll feature that on the network this afternoon, highlighted by the Jeff Ruby Stakes, but a nice card of stakes races at Turfway as well on this Saturday afternoon. Before we get to the discussion this morning, let me hit you with some of the promos coming up here at Capital OTB. With the Dubai Racing, there's a Dubai Track bonus. 25 highest wagering account holders get a 10% bonus into their account. Check out the website for more information on the Dubai bonus if you're playing Dubai this morning here at Capital OTB. Saturday, there's also a $100 online Winabet contest. Check out the website for more information on that. Here at the Clubhouse Racebook this afternoon, a match bet promotion. We'd love to have you swing on by and enjoy the match bet fun here at 711 Central Avenue in Albany. And tomorrow, there is a $300 online bankroll. You still have time to put your name in the hat to potentially get selected as one of the team members for the Sunday online bankroll. All of that coming up here at Capital OTB, and you can find out more info at the website, capitalotb.com. Again, coming up a little bit later on, Dubai action, bottom of the hour. A little bit after that, we'll be joined by Ellis Starr, national racing analyst from Equibase. He's going to take a look at some of the Gulfstream stakes with us, highlighted, obviously, by the Florida Derby and more. A little bit prior to that, we will be joined by Shug McGahey, who, of course, has the favorite in the Florida Derby, Greatest Honor. I taped an interview with Shug, and we talked Greatest Honor, obviously, but some other entrants as well. He has a horse, unfortunately, that is on the AE list, but has the potential to get in one of the stakes at Turfway. He has a nice-looking first-time starter maiden at Gulfstream. We hit on that. But then some of his other horses as well. Bears Watching, the nice maiden breaker from a week and a half or so ago down at Gulfstream, the sibling to Code of Honor. We hit on that and some other Shug horses and where we might see them next. That's all coming up in a little while with Shug. But we will start things out guest-wise with our friend Ron Nicoletti. Who better to talk a big day at Gulfstream with than the paddock analyst down there at Gulfstream, Ron Nicoletti, and he is up next. Happy to be joined now by our friend Ron Nicoletti from Gulfstream Park. Ron, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. How are you doing up there?
Very good. And set us up. Mm-hmm. We're pre-taping on Friday, but set us up for the weather on Saturday. Also set us up. Again, we're taping on Friday, so we got to hope there is not a scoop of the Rainbow Six, but it looks like if nobody does scoop it on Friday, there will be a big pool waiting for folks with a mandatory on Saturday.
Yeah, even if they hit it today, there'll be a mandatory tomorrow, but of course, if it's not hit, it'll be multi-million dollars, and it's supposed to be a beautiful day and here in South Florida. Boy, the summer just arrived like that. It was supposed to be about 90 degrees. We were having a beautiful winter. Everybody was bragging about it, cool in the morning, and all of a sudden, it's hot. So we'll see how that plays out with the horses tomorrow. You never know in South Florida, of course, but it's supposed to be fast and firm and a beautiful sunny day.
Yeah, you know my feeling there, boo-hoo, boo-hoo, too hot. Come on, you're killing us up here. But, yeah, it's been a great meet. Championship meet gets the exclamation point on Saturday with the Florida Derby, but you guys put on a great show down there this winter again, so congratulations to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, all the people involved, it's been fantastic with everybody who's done as far as keeping, trying to keep us all safe and, you know, following the rules. Everybody seems to be doing it. We finally got some fans back, so that makes it better. And every day it seems we get a little bit more, you know, opened up a little bit more, just the way the country's going. So, you know, we still got some restrictions, but the racing's been good, and that's all that really matters, right?
And we should talk, again, we're talking on Friday, so maybe the record will be broken by the time Saturday rolls around, but Irod Ortiz, he's sitting on a record for the championship meet.
Yeah, I think it'll be broken by about 2:30 this afternoon, actually, on Friday. He had four more wins yesterday. So, you know, he's got to get you think he's got 135. The tied record is 137. And we were just looking yesterday. He's riding all 12 races on Sunday. Not counting Saturday. He's riding all 12 on Sunday. So it just goes to show you. I think the record might get broken.
Not taking any chances. Oh, that's great. And I'll also mention Junior Alvarado, who typically hasn't been going down there, but he went down. And Keisha interviewed him in the winner's circle after a stakes win last weekend or two weekends ago. And, you know, he was talking about, you know, matching up with some of the trainers and whatnot. But Junior had a pretty good meet down there as well.
Fantastic meet, a good guy, and it was so lucky to have him down here. He just added that extra, you know. I've always been a big fan of his, met him a lot up in New York, especially, you know, when he's at Saratoga. Sometimes he flies a little bit under the radar, but not the case down here. And, you know, and Bill Mott, what a meet he had with averaging about 28% wins the whole meet, which is not usually Bill's case, but his horse has been running fantastic, and that has to do with Junior too.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's jump into the action on Saturday. We'll start with the big race and kind of work our way back to a few other thoughts as well as far as the stakes action. But race number 14 on Saturday afternoon is the Florida Derby. I was looking at your picks, and you can pull up Ron's picks every racing day at the Gulfstream Park website. Nice printable page. You have Greatest Honor on top, as do I, and I have Shug on the show, and so we'll look at the Fountain of Youth replay with Shug, but I want to pull up the horse you have right underneath. I have in my mix as well. We're going to go back and we're going to look at the February 24th optional claiming win for Soup and Sandwich over Tampa Bay Downs. It was a short field of only three, but it was win number two and start number two for Mark Cassie. As I say, you have this one right underneath, 20-1 on the morning line. I think Soup and Sandwich is interesting too, but take us through your selections for the Florida Derby.
Well, Greatest Honor stretching out to the 9 furlongs after trying to become the first horse ever to win the Holy Bull, Fountain Youth, and Florida Derby. You, as you mentioned, for Shug McGahee, and this is the same route he took, basically, to get Orb into the Kentucky Derby. And schooled yesterday for Shug at noon. We had it on our early show. Didn't turn a hair. Looks fantastic. He's not a good workhorse, so there is always some doubts. And, you know, all the clockers that come back say he just doesn't look like he's working well. But Chuck said that's normal for him. So I was torn between him, Soup and Sandwich is my wise guy pick, but I've been looking at Twitter. It looks like it's everybody's wise guy pick in the world. You know, the horse just ran exceptionally well. People are actually putting pictures of Soup and Sandwich on the Twitter feed. So I think this horse is not even going to be close to 20-1 in there. And what about Collaborate, man? He's going to prove he belongs in the Triple Crown Trail. And that was for Seppi Joseph Jr. He was very impressive. I would not be totally shocked if he ran exceptionally well in that race.
Yeah, I did not know what to do with Collaborate. We just take the handicapper's report, and I was talking with Brian Addo, our other handicapper, and I had Safi on that morning, the morning of the big win, and he said, you know, we were disappointed. We didn't win the first start. I'm pretty confident this afternoon, and he followed up with that. But maiden special weight into a grade one, first time around two turns. I wouldn't argue anybody off of him, but I just didn't know what to do with him. But I think it is a fun addition. Greatest Honor, Soup and Sandwich, Spielberg coming in. What? Let me ask what you're doing with Spielberg, because Baffert in these three-year-old races this year, I had Jeremy Plonk on last week, and he pointed out in four of the Derby preps so far this year, not only has Baffert won, he's completed the exacta in four of the Derby preps this year. So Spielberg, to me, is intriguing as well.
Yeah, you know, it was like a last-minute decision. It looks like they were looking for a place for this horse. He's got to deal with post-10 here. Coming to South Florida, I mentioned the weather. You know, I got to take a pass at Diener on this horse. You know, I'm not that we're not going to use him on, Try or Super or something. I just don't have that feeling. But, you know, once again, like we said, we're collaborative. You got that feeling, you great stat you just gave out. You got to put this horse somewhere in your ticket. I know this track, up post 10, first time around. I'm going to watch one. You know, not that I'm not going to have him underneath. But certainly, if he wins, I would not be shocked. Because it is Baffert.
Yeah, it's very intriguing because it's Baffert. He comes to Oaklawn, you have to pay attention, but he comes to South Florida, it's a whole different, that's not his game plan. So Spielberg will be interesting.
Exactly.
All right, I want to pull up the Cutler Bay, race number 11, because, again, if you pull up Ron's selections, he's got a best bet there and a long shot play, and I will once again tip my cap. Every time I talk to you, it seems I have to tip my cap to your long shot plays at the meet have been running really well. And you have a long shot play in the Cutler Bay. We are going to take a look at the optional claiming race from February 24th and see Fulmini, the number one win. Running second will be number two, It Can Be Done. And It Can Be Done at 20-1 is in the Cutler Bay on Saturday and is your long shot play. Talk a little bit about your selections in the Cutler Bay.
Well, if you go back and look at this horse, it can be done. We're hoping he can get it done. He used his speed to win at a mile in the past. He stretches out. I thought it was a really solid return at 5 furlongs in which he finished that great closing second. Greg Sacco, Javier Castellano, one of the best at nursing him along on the front end. And I think this one's beyond the pace. It just went the pace. And this turf course over the last 3 days has just been favoring speed. So this was my thought. I thought maybe if this horse can get out there at a price, you know, maybe he could steal this race. I'm getting a Hall of Fame jockey on it, you know, so I'm taking a shot. And I used Annex underneath, and, you know, he was undefeated for Bill Mott locally. You know, he just running well and step dancer. But it's a speed play for me, which I've been doing a lot lately over the last couple of weeks, especially on the turf.
And picks overall have been doing well also, but the long shot plays have been very interesting, so I like it in the 11th. And again, that's part of that all-stakes pick five to end the card. That sequence will kick off in race number 10, the Pan American Grade 2 event, mile and a half on the grass. I used Cross Border. I just thought it was intriguing that Mike Maker was entered in that stake at Fairgrounds last weekend, and he elected to go to this spot. Saddler's Joy used underneath. You got to love the 8-year-old, but boy, he doesn't like to win. The morning line favorite is Saddler's Joy. And then I have Temple and Moon Over Miami in the mix. I think Sir Sahib is a little bit dangerous. I didn't use that one, but what are your thoughts on the Pan American?
I went with the inside horse Cross Border, stretching out to the 12 furlongs first start since he finished in that strong closing third. That was in the mile and 3/16. Of course, the Grade 1 Pegasus Serve, Mike Maker, Tyler Gaffney-Owen. 7-year-old son of English Channel. I see that speed in it. I feel the same way with Saddler's Joy. I mean, he's just a great horse. He just doesn't seem to win here. He's 8-year-old. You know, he's 9/15 in the money at the marathon distance, but he just doesn't win, especially here in Florida lately. So, Cross the Border, I like the idea of using Moon Over Miami in there, too, for Bill Mott with Junior Alvarado in the saddle.
And finally, let's take a look at race number 5 on the card, the Sir Shackleton, 7 furlongs, the trip, field of 8 scheduled. Basin is in here for Todd Pletcher. Chivalry is in here as well. Interesting field of sprinters. Your thoughts in the Sir Shackleton?
Well, you mentioned Basin, who you know from up north, won the Grade 1 hopeful at 7 furlongs, albeit in the slop, returned the end of his 3-year-old campaign with that second place finish. That was in the muddy Grade 2 Amsterdam. So he's been dodging raindrops for Todd Pletcher. I just see him classing up perfectly in the spot with Jose Ortiz in the saddle. Cool Arrow is the one that's interesting for me, a 4-time local winner, which includes a victory in the Grade 3 Smile Stakes. He's hoping to rekindle that horse for course the status. He hasn't run well up at Tampa Bay, and the Great Dream is the prospector. But he's worth a look at a price in that race, and I use Town Classic to close it out. That is the number 8 horse.
Interesting. And again, you can find Ron's selections at the Gulfstream Park website. Ron, as always, we appreciate the visit, and good luck and congratulations to you and Acacia. It's been fun to watch you. I sit in here and do the afternoon handicapping show, and so I'm watching you guys doing your pregame and your paddock commentary. You've done a great job throughout the meet. So, again, good luck. Congratulations to you as the meet winds down. And send on the congratulations to the rest of the team as well.
I will. Thanks for the kind words.
Ron Nicoletti from Gulfstream Park on their big day, highlighted by the Florida Derby.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Happy to be joined now by trainer Shug McGahee. He has greatest honor in the Florida Derby on Saturday afternoon. Shug, good morning.
Good morning, Ted. How are you all today?
Very good. Happy to have you on board to talk a little bit about greatest honor. Maybe we'll hit on a couple other horses as well, but obviously the highlight of the afternoon is greatest honor. While we talk, I'm going to pull up a replay of the Fountain of Youth. Greatest honor is going to be the number 8 horse here, making a nice late run to get it done in the Fountain of Youth. Run his record to 3 of the last 3 starts, all down at Gulfstream, and that includes the Holy Bull just before this Fountain of Youth victory. Talk a little bit about your thoughts, your takeaway from the Fountain of Youth, and how he's been training since then, aiming for the Florida Derby.
Well, the Fountain of Youth was kind of a funny race. Everything kind of went right at the Holy Bull. And then the Fountain of Youth, you know, we got a little farther back than I thought. He ate a lot of dirt. Kind of got bumped a little bit going around the turn. And Jose, you know, kind of had to start getting after him a little bit. And then once he got him to the outside at the head of the stretch, the horse that was draining, the speed horse in the race, had sort of opened up. And, you know, I thought, uh-oh. And then, but, you know, once he got him clear, you know, he caught him and got by him in a hurry and was sort of pulled up at the end.
And how's he been training since?
No, he's done good. You know, he trains at Payson Park, and, you know, he's been down here since Wednesday, and I've been very pleased with what I've seen.
Talk a little bit about his development, because we saw him in the career debut right up here in our neck of the woods, ran third at Saratoga, followed that up with a third at Belmont, then a second at Aqueduct, and he really seemed to blossom when he moved down to Gulfstream Park. Talk a little bit about the development from that debut at Saratoga to where he is now.
Well, in hindsight, I think the two races at Saratoga and Belmont, the two sprint races, helped him a little bit, you know, to sort of learn. You know, he had to finish in both races, and he did. And then, you know, I think the biggest difference is going around two turns. You know, he's got a distance pedigree, and, you know, I think that when we got him going around two turns, it just made a big difference in his running style and what he wanted to do, because I think distance is his friend.
It seems from listening to you and reading comments, your feeling is, on that same line, the longer the better, the more distance the better for this horse. So with the mile and an eighth coming up on Saturday, what are your expectations?
Well, you know, I mean, I think he's going to run a good race. I think a mile and an eighth is a good distance for him. I'm looking forward to seeing him run a little bit farther. So, you know, I mean, I think my expectations are, if, you know, all goes well, that we should see a pretty nice horse run on Saturday.
You getting feedback from Jose Ortiz when he hops off of the horse?
He said, oh, I'm glad we don't have to run him a mile and 16th again.
Yeah, very good. Talk a little bit about, you know, obviously it's one race at a time, but the Kentucky Derby has to be out there in the future, potentially. And will the game plan be to keep him down in Florida for a while at Payson?
Yeah, I think we'd probably keep him here a couple of weeks after Saturday, maybe longer, a little bit depending on the weather. It's starting to get a little bit hot down here, and so I just kind of let him tell me when it's time to go, and you know, what we do, we'll move to Louisville and see what happens.
And I'm curious, you mentioned he's over at Gulfstream now.
Yeah, we had to be in here on Wednesday.
Okay. So from looking at the PPs and whatnot, you have some horses that are training at Gulfstream and you have some horses that are training at Payson. I'm just curious, how do you divvy them up? How do you decide who goes to Gulfstream, who goes to Payson?
Really, it's some of my people prefer to be at Payson. That's one thing, and I just feel like that I watch the horses and feel like the ones that'll kind of adapt down here to a little bit busier atmosphere than Payson Park, and that's pretty much the way it is. I take 12, 14 stalls here, and I got a little office here, and I live close to here, so I like to have a few heads looking at me in the morning and afternoon. So Gulfstream works out fine. I think they've got a really good racetrack here, main track, and so I just sort of try to pick out the ones that I think they'll do here, and have the ones that I think would be better off at Payson Park up there.
Very good, and we wish you a lot of luck Saturday with Greatest Honor. As I said, wanted to touch maybe on a couple other horses as well while we have you. And I was looking at entries on Saturday, and unfortunately it got stuck out on the also eligible list, but On the Town is entered in the Latonia at Turfway. And I'm just curious as what prompted you to send her up to Kentucky to Turfway for the stakes race on Saturday afternoon.
Well, I was just sort of looking for a spot that maybe wouldn't be quite as aggressive as like some of the races down here, or having to go to Oakland or somewhere like that, trying to get a stakes win in her. She'd been training really, really well since she ran second at Tampa, and I thought it was a good kind of stopping off point. I mean, she's run good on the grass, she's run good on the dirt, so I thought maybe the equalizer would be the Topeka Turfway, and then we ship down there and get on the also animals. But hopefully maybe that there'll be a few scratches, and we'll draw in and get to see how she does.
Yeah, we'll root for you to get in. As I say, you're on the AE list there. Also wanted to talk about another one on Saturday, going back to Gulfstream in the seventh race. It's a maiden special, and I'm always curious about the first-time starters. And you have Kind Ways in there for Mr. Farish. I looked it up. There's a full sibling to Kind Ways that won two of the first three over in Europe. So I found that a little bit intriguing. What are your thoughts on Kind Ways in the seventh at Gulfstream?
Well, she's been training well. She's at Payson. They got the turf course I can use up there, so we've breezed her on the turf. And, like you say, she's got a little bit of turf pedigree, being by Noble Mission, and I don't know that much about her mother, but you just told me she had a full brother that won a couple times over there, and that would have been on the grass. So, we're looking forward to getting her started and seeing where she takes us.
Yeah, as I say, that's an interesting seventh race, and so it'll be fun to see what she does in the debut and going forward with some win early siblings. Speaking of siblings, I wanted to catch up on a few of your nicer horses and get maybe plans in the future. And one of those, I'm going to go back and watch the race from March 13th. It's the maiden breaker for Bears Watching, the sibling to Code of Honor. Second career start, nice win, a big win, almost eight lengths for Bears Watching. What might be up next, where we can look for Bears Watching?
Well, he's still a Payson. He'll go up to Aqueduct on probably another week or so. And, I just try to find some sort of a lounge race to run him in and kind of see where he takes us. I mean, he's a horse that even before we started doing work with him, I liked. I like his body type and that type of stuff. And obviously, I like his pedigree, being a half to Code of Honor. And we think his horse has got some potential. And, I'll take my time with him and see where he takes us.
Yeah, he certainly looked good in that maiden breaker.
He sure did.
Yeah, let's catch up also with Mrs. Danvers. We're going to go back, look a couple starts back. Mrs. Danvers winning the Comley up at Aqueduct on November 22nd. She's going to be the number six horse here. Subsequently had a start down at Gulfstream. I saw she worked just about a week ago. Where might we look for Mrs. Danvers next?
Top flight. She's on her way to New York as we speak. Unless she's unloaded there, but she was getting there this morning. So we plan on running her in the top flight on April 10th.
Very good. And Wanted to look at one more, Vigilante's Way. Going to go back and look at the Tropical Park Oaks for her. She's going to be the number four horse here. She subsequently also had another start at Gulfstream, but went back and looked at this win in the Tropical Park Oaks. I saw she's worked fairly recently at Payson as well. But where might we look for Vigilante's Way next?
Well, Vigilante's Way is another one that's getting to Belmont this morning. And, you know, maybe I ran her back a little bit too soon. And, you know, horse was sort of pushing her along a little bit. And she got a little bit kind of more in the bridle than I'd like to see her, because you got to watch her with that. And, you know, there's the Memories of Silvers up there at Aqueduct, or there's a race at Laurel called Vidalia, I think, that going a mile and a 16th on the turf around the same time. I think it's April 17th. And I'd be pointing for one of those.
You've kind of alluded to it, saying some of your horses have already headed. I'm just curious, with the championship meet coming to an end, everybody starts to head north. What are your plans? When do you head north? And it sounds like some of your horses have already made the move, and I'm assuming most of them will be making the move. And will there be a stop at Keeneland before you head back to New York?
Well, you know, most of them are going to go to New York, but we are going to send seven or eight to Keeneland. They leave here on Sunday. And, you know, and as I run them, you know, I might bring them out of there and send some others down there. But, you know, we'll be a slight force at Keeneland, but, you know, what I'm sending there is all going to run, and, you know, we'll see what happens. And then we'll be completely out of Gulfstream on Sunday. There'll still be, you know, quite a few at Payson Park, but I'll start moving them around a little bit too.
Interesting. Shug, again, wish you a lot of good luck with Greatest Honor on the weekend and going forward on the Kentucky Derby Trail, and we really appreciate your taking the time this morning.
All right, Seth, thank you.
Appreciate it. Shug McGahee, again, Greatest Honor in the Florida Derby on Saturday afternoon. Thanks to both Ron Nicoletti and Shug McGahee for taking time to talk some of the Gulfstream Stakes and beyond with Shug. Obviously, got a little preview from some of his nice horses as well. Now we're going to step back for a little bit because we do have a Dubai race coming up. It's race number four, the Alquaz Sprint, 6 furlongs on the turf. There are some American entrants that you can root for. Extravagant Kid for Brendan Walsh, True Valor for Graham Motion, Cowan for Steve Asmussen. They're all upcoming in this race number four. So again, we'll take a little break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Ella Starr, the national racing analyst from Equibase, to take a look also at some of the nice stakes on the Florida Derby card. So in the meantime, a little Dubai, a little bit later, we return to some Gulfstream conversation. But right now, check it out. Get your wagers in. They're getting closer and closer to post time. Race number four, the Alquaz Sprint at Maidan in Dubai. Welcome back to Racing Across America. Happy to be joined now by our friend Ella Starr, national racing analyst for Equibase. You can find him other locations as well, a lot of racetrack websites. He's got his selections up for the particular racetracks. And I'm guessing pretty soon you'll be doing a little Keeneland as well.
Yeah, I'm really excited. You know, Keeneland's, they haven't set a percentage, but it's about 50% capacity, maybe 35%. And be open. I'll be there out a few days, but opening weekend is going to be fantastic. The Bluegrass next week, you know, 5-6 stakes on the opening Saturday card. They open Friday, run Friday, Saturday. They'll be dark Easter Sunday, and then they'll be running Wednesday through Sunday until Friday the 23rd when they close. And then Churchill opens the 24th, and then we know it's a week to Derby.
We'll have to check in with you for a little Keeneland advice as well after
Love
that
it.
Meet opens up. Speaking of Kentucky Derby, before we get to Florida Derby and some thoughts on the Gulfstream card, are you a future player? Last future pool this weekend? Take a look. And
I used to be. I don't really bother with it anymore. I had too many times where I was just happy to get my money back. You know, it's exciting, and I think, you know, just like regular handicapping, it's the thing where you pick a horse, and yeah, number one, great, he's running, which is fantastic. He made the race. And second is you're getting a better price, but it's not. Because mostly the first few legs, you know, it's going to be the all button, everybody else race, or it's going to be the heavy favorite like last year with Tis the Law. So I haven't been considering it much.
Speaking of heavy favorite, let's talk a little bit last week with Hot Rod Charlie winning down in Louisiana. Midnight Bourbon of the Louisiana runners was the best. Oh, Bezos for West Point. Nice little run to get third in there. But boy, Mandaloon and Proxy. I thought last week's race, rather than flattering the West Coast runners with their number one now going to the sideline, Life is Good. But Hot Rod Charlie coming in from the West Coast, rather than his flattering the West Coast runners, I thought the result was unflattering to the horses on the Louisiana trail.
Yeah, I mean, Hot Rod Charlie's really consistent, but you're right. The rest, and you got to wonder, because the Louisiana Derby's now a mile and 3/16, whether you can make the case they're distance challenged. It's very possible. I would say that your West Coast comment, I'll take umbrage with a little bit, because I like Concert Tour. I mean, I thought he ran fantastic. Lightly raced, tons of upside. I'm sorry to see Life is Good go, but, you know, the West Coast still has two major players now, and we're going to see some really good races this weekend. You know, Jeff Ruby may or may not have a horse go. The horse that runs in Japan can go if they want, because they hold a spot open. I doubt that. And, you know, it'll be interesting with the Jeff Ruby, the Florida Derby, the Dubai World Cup, and this race in Japan.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks now as we get the last few spots sorted out, and it will be fun.
And again, guaranteed spots, basically, because you get 100 points.
Yeah. You know, even second is probably guaranteed.
Right. Rights of first refusal.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, let's look at the Florida Derby, which clearly will have some runners that will show up in the Kentucky Derby. And the Florida Derby, the highlight of today's card at Gulfstream, and kind of the highlight of the championship meet, which wraps up. I'll remind people the Rainbow Six is a mandatory on Saturday at Gulfstream on the big card. Florida Derby is your race of the week at Equibase. I'll tell people to go over and take a look at that. And I took a look, and because I took a look, I pulled up the February 26th allowance optional claimer at Gulfstream Park. We're going to watch number 4, Known Agenda, get it done in here. In the race after kind of the dud in the Sam Davis, but this follow-up was more what you would expect from Known Agenda. I have that one right underneath. I just couldn't get past Greatest Honor and the little role he's on down at Gulfstream right now. Soup and Sandwich is interesting to me, and I don't know what to do with Spielberg for Bob Baffert. But again, looking at your race of the week analysis, I thought we'd take a look at that nice win by Known Agenda, and I will tee you up to take it away.
Well, you know, Greatest Honor's done nothing wrong this season. The maiden win, the Fountain of Youth, the Holy Bull, the Fountain of Youth, but they're all mile 16, you know, and Known Agenda's 2 for 2 at a mile length, 2 for 3, I should say, because he ran third in the Remsen in the slop. I could toss out the comeback race at Tampa, just off 2 months off. That wasn't the goal. Fletcher put blinkers on. He doesn't do that very much. And when he does, it was interesting, and it was a whole different horse. What I like as much for this race as for the Kentucky Derby is he's a curling. And I went and did, you know, I always look every year, but I kind of know it intuitively. We're using Stats Race Lens, which is a great tool. Tells me curling. It's pretty amazing when I think of this. I really made it narrow. 3-year-old males only in graded stakes from 9 to 10 furlongs the last 5 years. Curlin's had 7 different horses out of 15 win those races. Some early in the year, some later. Exaggerator, Good Magic, Tenfold, Vita Rosso, Irish War Cry. And I just think this horse can run the distance. The third off a layoff is a peak for me. A 5-1 morning line, Seth. I don't know we're going to get it. Greatest Honor, certainly a legitimate favorite, except for that 9-furlong question. He loves Gulfstream, 3-for-3. The two moves, Chart Callers, you know, I work for Equibase, and the Chart Callers comments, I'm kind of attuned to things where they're saying something in the short comment and they'll expand on it in the footnote. For fans out there, when you see a comment in a short comment that says swept past or surged, that's an impressive comment for guys that and gals that normally are more demure with their comments. And so there's nothing wrong with him. I think Known Agenda on a pattern of Equibase speed figures, 84 to 103 has upside. Greatest Honor, 106, 103, 101. It's okay, but it's not going up, which I like for three-year-olds. But he's certainly the horse. I think the two of them will hook up, and that'll be it. I did put Spielberg in third on this race the week, as you said, at Equibase, also at America's Best Racing. Certainly no knocks running second to Essential Quality. And then the Los Al Futurity. He threw a clunker, too. He threw a clunker in the Lewis. But he's never gone 9 furlongs either. So I got to go with the horse that's already run the farthest.
Yeah, as I say, I have that one right underneath. I think it's an interesting race, though, also. As I say, Soup and Sandwich is interesting to me. Speaking of the future pool, two future pools back. I took a little Nova Rags off the second the first time around two turns in the Sam Davis. I'll be interested to see what he does and maybe flatters my future play. And Collaborate, you may be on the same boat as me. I've had a couple of discussions already about Collaborate this morning. And my colleague Brian Addo on the handicapper support kind of was tilting towards having Collaborate right there in the thick of things. I'm just not totally sure. I'm not going to talk anybody off of the horse, but I'm not totally convinced on this one yet. And it seems like maybe you're in the same boat as far as Collaborate.
Yeah, I don't think you go maiden stakes now. You do it in February. You don't do it at the end of March. You just don't go maiden stakes unless you got a monster. It's just not enough seasoning and maturity. You got to have at least something before a grade one stakes, and he doesn't have it. Soup and Sandwich, you mentioned, two-turn race, great. Certainly would use him in the exotics. Nova Rags, I like the pattern sprint route. Rowdy just didn't match up on Equibase speed figures for me. He just has too big of a jump to get to it. Not that it's impossible. And the fact he skipped the Sam Davis for this was interesting. Mott's got the other horse, Candyman Rocket, so I can see why they would avoid each other. By the way, Nova Rags is a half to a horse you might remember. I looked up called Juanita, who won the Indiana Oaks back in 2011, earned $500,000. So there's some quality breeding there.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting edition of the Florida Derby. Let's work our way back, and we'll take a look at that All Stakes Lake Pick 4. So the race just prior, race number 13, is the Orchid. Grade 3 event, 1 3/8 on the turf. I am going to pull up the replay from the La Proviante. It is going to be number one, Always Shopping. Second win in the last two starts since arriving down at Gulfstream. I just found it a little too tough to get past Always Shopping. But I have Delta's Kingdom in the mix. I have Sorrel. I have Morning Molly. But we did a stakes preview. We taped it yesterday. And as I looked and we were talking, Cristal at 20-1 for John Kimmel. This is a horse that started the career with a lot of promise. And again, we're watching Always Shopping win here, but I've kind of shifted to Cristal for the comments. The three-year-old season, however, the career was started with promise up at Saratoga as a two-year-old. The three-year-old season was kind of a lost season. And the four-year-old debut was pretty good, although the number was kind of light. So I think that 20-1 will hold up. But I'm going to play around a little bit with Cristal. As I say, I didn't use it in my initial mix, but I'll play around a little bit with that one at a price anyway. What are your thoughts on the Orchid?
Well, that's a good pick. And I'm using Cristal. I'm also using Enjoy It While You Can, who was a half length back at Cristal, who's Mike Maker, third off the Maker, changed trainers with Gaff Leone. If you leave this horse out 20-1 also, I think you'll be kicking yourself. I'm going 5 deep here, 3 deep in the Florida Derby. When we get back to the pick 4, I'm going to be singling, so it's going to be a fairly inexpensive ticket. I'm using 2, Enjoy It While We Can, Morning Molly, Sorrel, you said the 4 and the 5, Cristal the 6, Always Shopping. My main play, the win bet and key, is going to be Morning Molly. I can't resist a horse this consistent that's been first or second every race 7 times since the debut. The debut was a 6-furlong sprint, and then off for 9 months. And since then, did take one little break from March to January, which is fine, a four-year-old to five, but done nothing wrong at all. Made the lead last time in the Hillsborough, which is great too. Really the only horse in the race, I believe, dropping out of a tougher race. And so 8-1, I can't resist. Sorrel, certainly, I didn't see Lasix on, which is interesting for a first-time U.S., but it's Clement. She's got a mile and a half already, so there's no problem getting 11 furlongs. As you said with Cristal and Joey, while you can, they got a mile and 7/16, so I'm not too worried about getting a mile and 3/8. That's a 16th further. Always Shopping's great. I hope she doesn't win. I'm going to use her. Mess around with that. My win bet here is Morning Molly. I think this is a great course and exact to key probably with the other four top and bottom.
Yeah, 8-1 morning line there. So interesting thoughts in the Orchid. Let's go one race earlier. The Gulfstream Park Oaks. I'm going to pull up the Here Comes the Bride from February 27th. Con Lima is going to be the number three horse here. The winner will be number one, Spanish Love Affair. Subsequently a DQ, however, the one is taken down. It didn't affect Con Lima. It was a horse that was further back. But Con Lima makes a nice late run here as the three horse, typically a front runner. And if you watch the beginning of this race, the chart says bumped. That seems a little exaggerated. I'm not sure about the bump. I think Con Lima just kind of took a stutter step out of the gate and got away a little slowly and then was kind of wide the whole way around. Now, it was turf, Saturday's dirt, but I think from the one hole and probably a better start and some early speed, I'm going to tilt towards Con Lima. Milfoil, I've heard it pronounced like eight different ways. I'm intrigued to see what Bill Mott does with this one because it's almost a Lake Avenue kind of a situation where she had the great two-year-old season, the three-year-old debut not as good, and Lake Avenue, of course, had that lost three-year-old season and now has come back as a four-year-old and recaptured the two-year-old form. We'll see if the Mott runner does similar in here or rebounds off of that seasonal debut, which is probably more likely. Crazy Beautiful for McPeak is also interesting to me, but what are your thoughts in the Oaks?
Well, first about Millfield, you know, I'd like this horse. I liked her last time, and I don't think you get, I mean, she might hit the board, but I don't think you go from the seventh beating 21 to competitive. It just doesn't happen, you know, unless there's a total excuse, and I don't see one. I think it's a two-horse race. Con Lima, you mentioned, and the one right outside of her, Bobo Girl. I think these two could set up in a short field and go 1-2 around the track. As opposed to the Florida Derby, where I said you don't go maiden to stakes, Dale Romans does go maiden to stakes. He won this race with Coast Rocks off a maiden win in 2018 and with Go Maggie Go in 2016 off a maiden win. I can't believe when I looked at this research and Stats Raceland said, tell me how Romans does going maiden to stake. And I said, it wasn't just two stakes races. It was this race where he won off a maiden. And I think it was a great move to give Bobo Girl those 2-mile 16th races at Gulfstream. The last was fairly impressive, drawing off by five. And to put in perspective, there was a 91 equal-based speed figure. Con Lima got a 92 in the Here Comes the Bride. So they ran just as fast. Con Lima's going to be bet down from 3-1. Still, I'd bet her at 2-1. But I like Bobo Girl as a win bet here. These are the only two I'm using in the pick threes and pick fours. I think it's a two-horse race. But I'm excited to see if Romans can pull this same move off again.
And, of course, Coach Rocks for local owner Roddy Valente. We're friends with Roddy, and we were actually down there when Coach Rocks won that day, so I had Roddy in the winner's circle, and that was a lot of fun. But, yeah, that would be interesting to see a similar. And I like, I'll ask you, I like stakes races, you get it more than everyday races. But when trainers have patterns that they've followed from year to year, and this isn't necessarily that same kind of a pattern, I like similar prep race into a race, those kind of patterns. But it's a similar type of an idea that you're kind of hanging your hat on. And I kind of like that from a trainer.
Some trainers do it. It's, you know, it's either a measure of their confidence or it's a measure of their, it is more about their confidence, but it's also a measure of they do it in mind. And maybe Roman just does it in mind. Overall, though, I would just say something was amazing to me, not only those two, but for the last 5 years, Roman's a 7-26 going from a maiden to a stake, period. And it's like, how do you know? You know, Roman's being a lower percentage trainer. I mean, still great, but, you know, 10-12%. With Mott and McGahee, when they're confident enough to put a maiden in a stake, Hoffberg reminds me a couple of years ago, you know, you think, well, you got to believe. With Roman's, sometimes you shake your head, but apparently he's more attuned to when to do it. With Lucas, you know, you just took a shot, and a lot of times it paid off, like at the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. It's very interesting. These patterns are interesting. I don't give them a lot of credence, but this one kind of jumped out because it was this race. And also, with, I don't know how you feel about this, when you think about the Florida Derby, you know, females mature earlier, but for some reason, you treat them lighter. So you don't mind going from maiden to a stake in March, where you wouldn't really do it with the boys.
Yeah, there is a difference between the fillies and the males. There's no question about it. I don't know whether I have sophisticated up my handicapping enough to have all of those differences, but there clearly are. There's no question about it. All right, let's go a little bit earlier on the card. And from your conversation earlier, you've kind of alluded, you're going to tilt. I think you're going to tilt. I assume you're going to tilt towards the horse I'm on in here as well, which is Annex in the Cutler Bay race number 11. I'll be interested if that's not the direction you go. But I'm going to pull up a replay just on a horse that I think is interesting in this race as well. Optional claimer from February 12th. We'll look at the number 4, Hyper Focus. And on our handicapping show earlier, I mentioned bettors now focus so much on buyer figures that I think the 7-2 on Hyper Focus is legit, or I could see going up maybe a tick or two. And if it does, I think the Pletcher Rapoli runner, and we're seeing a Hyper Focus again, the 4 here, getting it done in the first start on turf, which is kind of key to me as well. I think this horse could be interesting, again, at a little bit of a price. It's not going to be a long shot, but maybe a little bit of value there as compared to Annex. I don't think we'll get the 5-2 at all on Annex. I think Annex will take all of the money. I have Step Dancer next, Fighting Force. But then, as I say, Hyper Focus to me, interesting. But, yeah, Annex, just, boy, off of that big closing effort last time in the Palm Beach, 2-2. Bill Mott, L&J Foxwoods and company, just looks really good in the Cutler Bay.
Yeah, that is my single. But let me say, first of all, when I handicapped this race the first time, I made a check mark by every horse, which meant I left them in because I handicapped by elimination. And then I went and looked at speed figures, other things, and I basically turned every check mark into an X. So I could really make the case to play an all, but and that's value. But Annex was very impressive. Just going first out at a mile on grass, first time out, and to close from eighth powerfully the way he did, very impressive. It's a maturity you don't see in a young horse, and the training ability as well to get the horse ready to go a mile. And then in the Palm Beach, still in an 8-horse field, and it was a little fast, it was very fast early, 44 and change, just to come from 22 back and get up by a head, it's a will to win situation. Every horse, as with many 3-year-old races, can improve and should improve one race to the next. I just think that the amount of improvement you could expect from any of the other 8 horses here versus just Mott's improvement from Annex just still puts him in the winner's circle. So I'm going to start with a single here. Just the example, just say he got a 1-on-3 equibase figure, as you said, buyer. You know, he got probably an 85 or so buyer. The next best horse in equibase is 92. So to expect any horse to jump up by 10 points at Annex or aggress at the same time, I think is asking too much. So it was a nice way to start a pick 4 here. It makes it a decent, inexpensive ticket, which is on one of my blogs, by the way. And I think he really is the one to beat.
Yeah, I'm right with you. As I say, I think Hyper Focus is interesting in there, and I have a couple others in the mix, but it's going to go through Annex. And, yeah, if you're playing a late pick 4 or a late pick 5 even, or the Rainbow, if you're taking a shot with a Rainbow, that's going to allow you, yeah, on a mandatory day, that'll allow you to play around in some of the other races.
Right, absolutely.
Are you a mandatory player in the Rainbow?
Yeah, I probably will be. I like it. I like it when it's a force out. I can't resist the possibility.
Yeah, you got
at least you get something.
Got to take a shot. And you mentioned it earlier, and you got me thinking. We got to have you on at some point again. We've done it before in the past, but to talk the stats race lens product.
Happy to do it. Yeah, I think we had some issues last year. All worked out. It's swimming along now, and you know, just occasionally comes up with something. And also just, as I said before, most important for me is it speeds up a handicapping. It makes it faster and better. And you get things you want to know. For example, looking at 3-year-olds going 9 furlongs, I want to know the sires that have produced 9-furlong stakes winners. And, you know, it's a minute to find out. And some are new sires, so you're not going to have as much. But on things like the curl and the 7-for-15, out of 15 horses having 7 graded stakes winners in male dirt routes. That's significant for me. And the others are good. I'm Pioneer and Isle, and we have know some of the others, but that was just a standout in terms of that. And some of it's breeding, as you know. You get a good horse, you breed to good horses. But even Tappet. Tappet's fantastic. He doesn't have the same numbers as Curlin.
Yeah, I've said it before. I say it quite often. If you can find things that aren't on the page, that gives you a little advantage over some other players and maybe helps you find some value in a product like Stats Race Lens is one of those that can help you do that. And I said, we went over, I want to say at Saratoga last year, maybe we had you via Zoom and did a little bit. We've done it, I know, within the past couple of seasons, talked about it, but it's probably time for a little refresher at some point. So we will schedule that coming up. Ellis, as always, appreciate the conversation, the thoughts. Again, folks can find your Race of the Week every weekend at Equibase, America's Best Racing as well, and other locations for selections. And give us the Twitter handle so folks can check that out as
It's @UberCapper. Just Google UberCapper, you'll find me.
Sounds good. Ellis, again, appreciate the visit, and good luck on Saturday.
My pleasure. Good luck to everybody.
Ellis Starr, National Racing Analyst from Equibase. Thanks to Ellis Starr, National Racing Analyst for Equibase, for some of his thoughts on the Gulfstream Stakes on this Saturday, highlighted, of course, by the Florida Derby. Thanks earlier to Shug McGahey, greatest honor, likely favorite in the Florida Derby. Got some conversation from him. And Ron Nicoletti at the top of the show. Thanks to all of them. Thanks to you for tuning in. Don't forget the Dubai Racing continues this morning here on the network. Up next will be Race 5, the UAE Derby. A couple of American entrants there. Ambivalent for Doug O'Neill and Laguamo for Antonio Sano. That'll go off at about 10:05. 10:40 is the Golden Shaheen with Yaupan from Steve Asmussen. That horse won the Amsterdam at Saratoga last year. The Shima Classic, race number 8, will have Channel Maker from Bill Mott. And at about 12:50, the highlight, the Dubai World Classic, World Cup, with Mystic Guy, Title Ready, Jesus's team, and Sleepy Eyes Todd from America, our rooting interest in those races. So again, lots of great Dubai action still to come here on the network. Gulfstream will kick off at about 11:30, so they have an early post time, a blockbuster 14 race card that starts at 11:30 and goes to after 6:30 tonight with the Florida Derby being the highlight, not just of the day, but of the championship meet down there. It is a mandatory pay in the rainbow at Gulfstream today. Keep that in mind. Turfway also with a very nice card on this Saturday afternoon, highlighted by the Jeff Ruby Stakes for the three-year-olds there. In New York, we have the claiming championship, starter stakes all day long at Aqueduct. So it is really a big, fun Saturday. I'll be back in a little bit later this afternoon with OTB Live to look at least most of that action, and it should be a lot of fun. So looking forward to you staying tuned for all of that. Dubai, Gulfstream, Turfway, Aqueduct, and much, much more on this Saturday. But I'm going to wrap it up for, as I said earlier, racing across the globe on this Saturday morning. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you a little bit later for OTB Live.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting. We'll be right back.